Not really sure why it's so hard to come up here. But I really just feel like the Lord wants me to share what he's doing with me, you know, and what he's teaching me and what he's showing me. And I hope it's a blessing to someone else and that maybe we can learn and grow together. Recently, I've been thinking a lot about needing to hear from God. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in my life. And, you know, in the past, I was thinking about being back in Fresno and, you know, just all the different things that came up, you know, that I had to face. And I was desperate. I was desperate to hear from the Lord in a lot of different decisions that I had to make. And didn't know where to turn, didn't really know what to do. And I was desperate to hear from God, and I needed to hear from God. A lot of serious decisions to make, and you know, I know that decisions can be weighty sometimes, you know, and they're very important. You know, to get it wrong would be devastating sometimes. And so I was really seeking God. You know, one of those decisions for me was a wife. You know, I really had to hear from the Lord on who I should marry, you know. And I didn't want to make it into a situation where I got in my mind what I wanted and asked God to approve it, but I wanted him to bring me what he wanted. And so that put me in a, I guess you'd say, a precarious situation, you know, and that I was waiting on God. And so he answered. But I think of that, and I'm in a position now where I have to hear from God still, right? I got to know, Lord, do you want me to speak? Do you not want me to speak? You know, what do you want me to say? When do you want me to say it? It's just decision after decision after decision. And, you know, for me, I think about it, and what really got me thinking about this was that I've always left the weightier decisions to God, you know, the ones that I think are devastating results or devastating outcomes. And then I started thinking about it, and it's like, I need the Lord to help me answer everything, you know, because, I mean, where I'm going to work, where I'm going to live, what house to buy, you know, or not buy, you know, because all of those things can have a huge impact, you know. How to raise a son. You know, I've never done that. I don't know what that's like. You know, just knowing how to deal with the young people. You know, I have to hear from the Lord. And, you know, sometimes I think we can get overconfident in thinking that there's situations or scenarios in our lives that we're capable of answering these questions. You know, that, well, I don't really need God in this. I already know about all this. And so you don't really seek him. You know, you don't really ask him. And one of those situations in the Bible that I was thinking about was Nathan. He told David. David wanted to build a house for the Lord. And Nathan said, well, build it. Right? Why not? You're God's anointed. You know, I mean, David, who was closer to God than David? Right? And he just automatically said, yeah. Build it. But the Lord told him afterwards, no. Tell David, don't build it. The Lord had something else in mind. And so sometimes we can think that we know what we're supposed to do or how we're supposed to proceed and get overconfident in those things where the Lord says no. There was another situation where David was winning battles. He would do it this way and he'd win. And so confidence might tell you, do it that way the next time, right? But David had the mind of seeking after God. Yes. And so what he did is he asked the Lord. And the Lord said, no, I don't want you to do it that way. I want you to do it this other way. And he got success. And so it's so important for us to hear from God. But it's not just important for us to hear from him, but it's important for us to ask him. You know, how are we going to hear from God if we don't ask? You know, how are we going to get those answers if we don't seek? And so it's important that we seek the Lord. I was reminded of another situation today in Brother Philip's message about Joshua and how they were going into the land. They were going to overcome the people of the land. And there was a couple instances, one in particular that he mentioned today was the Gibeonites. They weren't supposed to make any leagues with anybody in the land. They were supposed to destroy all the inhabitants of the land. But these people tricked them. They changed their clothes. They made it look like they had been traveling many, many miles and basically said, no, we're not from this area. You know, just make a league with us. And so they did. But the key thing in that is that they didn't seek after God. They didn't ask the Lord about it. And it specifies that they didn't ask God. Just, it's in Joshua 9:14. It says, and the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. You know, that was one of the things, that is one of the things that I really loved about David, is that he sought the Lord's counsel in all the decisions that he made. Even when people, when all of his men were against him, he still asked the Lord. You know, when he was, he helped the Kenites. Somebody came against him to attack him, and he asked the Lord, are they going to give me up to Saul? And he said, yes, they are. And so he left. And so I just think about David, and he sought the Lord's guidance in all the decisions that he made. And so that puts me in my position. I want to hear from God. Not just because it seems like the right thing to do, but I really need to hear. You know, if I'm going to be led along the right path, if I'm going to do things correctly in the right way, I've got to hear from the Lord. Because he's the one that's going to give me that direction and guidance. We heard today about the Spirit leading us and guiding us and bringing all things to our remembrance, whatsoever Jesus Christ has taught us. How is he going to do that if we don't ask him? How is he going to do that if we don't listen? And so the Lord just keeps telling me over and over that I have to hear him. He says that his sheep hear his voice. And so it's not just to have it read into our ears. You know, I can read the scriptures all day long, but never actually hear them. You never actually listen to what God is saying. You know, that the Lord is speaking to us in his word. You know, he's speaking to us in the messages that we hear. He's speaking to us in the songs that we sing. The Lord is saying something. But are we listening? Are we hearing? Are we taking and receiving the guidance that he's giving us? You know, I can say that I've been guilty of not really hearing. And there's a lot of reasons why we maybe don't hear. Sometimes the distractions of our life, you know, we can get so busy and so bombarded with the things of life and the cares of the world and the cares of life that our ears aren't sensitive to the moving of God. And so I was thinking about some of the things that maybe hinders us hearing from the Lord. I was reminded of a situation in Jeremiah chapter 43. And basically this situation was that I believe it was Babylon had come and taken the people and took them captive, but they left some of the people behind. And so the people that they left behind were worried. They were worried that that they were going to come back and get them. And so they went to Jeremiah and they asked him, they said, seek the Lord for us. Ask him what he would have us do. We think we should run to Egypt. So first they're coming to God But they're basically saying what they think should happen. But they're asking God, should we go to Egypt? Should we run? So they asked Jeremiah to tell them whether or not they should run. And so Jeremiah said, okay, I'll pray and I'll seek unto the Lord and I'll find out what the Lord says. And so he does. He comes and he tells them. He says, the Lord has said, stay where you're at. That he'll protect you, he'll keep you. Don't worry, stay right where you're at. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 43, and it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshea, and Jonathan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. And so I think that sometimes that is one of the hindrances that we have in hearing God, is that we already have it in our mind what we think he should say. You know, what we think the outcome should be. They wanted to go to Egypt. They had already pretty much made it up in their mind to go to Egypt. Not really sure why they asked Jeremiah to pray about it. But they didn't want to hear it because it didn't match up with what they wanted. And so sometimes we can get like that. I can get like that. Where I get it made up in my mind what I want and not listen to God. Not hear what he has to say about it. Not be humble and submissive unto him and open. Open to hear his voice. Open to hear what he would have me do. But really just asking him to confirm what I already think. And that's what they were doing. Is they were really just asking God to confirm what they already thought or believed. I was thinking of another situation in Samuel, the third chapter of 1 Samuel. We're familiar with Samuel and how he was raised up in the temple, and his mother gave him up to serve the Lord, and the Lord gave him to her as a promised child. And so Samuel, he grew up in the temple from a babe. Not really sure how old he was when she finally brought him, but essentially he was raised there. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 3, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. I think about that, and I think about that verse and how it says the word of the Lord was precious in those days. You know, for me, God's word is very precious in these days. For me. I mean, there are situations in my life where, like I said, I have to hear from God. You know, it's getting down on your knees and, you know, like Brother Philip was saying, fasting and praying and seeking after God and being diligent in your heart to hear from the Lord, because we know that we can't really continue until we hear what it is that he would have us do or hear what it is our next step would be. We're desperate to hear from the Lord. The word of God is precious. It was so precious in these times that the Lord had to speak to a child. I wonder why that is. You know, Eli was the priest. Why would God have to speak to a child? His word. He told Samuel, Eli told Samuel, you better tell me exactly what the Lord said. And he did. And it was against Eli. The Lord had a rebuke and was basically telling Eli that he was taking the priesthood from him. But I think about it, and the reason why I believe the Lord had to speak to a child is because no one else was listening. The word of the Lord was precious in those days, yes, because God wasn't telling them what they wanted to hear, and so they didn't want to listen. And I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be that way to the Lord. I don't want to have my ears closed to his word because I'm too hard-hearted to hear what he has to say. Sometimes the Lord says things that maybe go against our flesh, that tells us something about ourselves that isn't right. You know, and really I should take that and thank him for it, that he's got mercy on me to reveal those things that ought not to be in my life, you know. But too often people don't do that. They want the Lord to say good things to them. You know, I think about the prophets and how they spoke to the people and they prophesied to the people and they said, don't talk to us like that. Don't tell us the Lord's going to destroy the city, or don't tell us that we're going to go into captivity. We don't want to hear that, you know. Tell us good things. Tell us God's going to bless us. Tell us that he's going to increase us with goods and provide all kinds of good things for us. But the reality is that wasn't the message. Because they weren't right in their hearts. The Lord was trying to get them right in their hearts, to draw them closer to him. And then he would bless them in all those ways. But their hearts were not holy for the Lord. And so they needed to hear that. But their ears were closed to what God would say because the Lord wasn't speaking what they wanted to hear. 2 Timothy chapter 4 speaks of our times, which I imagine it's not just our times, but probably many years gone by already too. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, I charge ye therefore, verse 1, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, I think about this verse, and obviously it's a reality. You know, the Lord said it, but we can see it. You know, we can see it in the lives of people. You know, I talk to people often that this verse is really being lived out in their lives, you know. And it goes back to what we've already said, and that God isn't telling them what they want to hear. And so what do? They find somebody who will. And that's what the people did in the past when they had false prophets. They got people that would tell them or prophesy to them what they wanted to hear. And those false prophets would say, yeah, he's going to bless you. You know, I think about the one prophet I think his name might have been Malachi, but he was the only prophet that would tell the king the truth. And the king said, you know what, I hate this prophet. You know, Jeremiah, I think it was King Jeremiah or King Jeroboam or whatever, Jehoshaphat maybe it was, said, well, isn't there any other prophets? He's like, yeah, there's one more, but I don't like him. He never tells me anything that I like to hear, you know? And so he had a lot of prophets that would tell him what he would want to hear. But God isn't like that. You know, to hear from God, if you're going to present yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to hear from you, speak to my heart, teach me your ways, show me what you would have me do in my life, instruct me, guide me, allow your spirit to teach me. In order to do that, we got to be willing to hear the truth. You know, Brother Philip preached today about the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth speaks the truth. And the fact is sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth exposes. Sometimes the truth opens us up where we're able to see ourselves. And thank God for that, because we need that. If we're going to grow, if we're going to mature, and we're going to be, transformed into the image of Christ, then we need to see what's not lining up to him, you know, what's not lining up to the Lord. And so to do that, we have to have a heart that desires and loves the truth. There's a scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that kind of alludes to this. It says, it's kind of pulled out of the chapter, but it says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." And so what that scripture is saying is that they perish because they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear what God would have to say to them. And because of that, they perish. It's a sad thing. But you know, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, we can be sincere. We can be wholeheartedly dedicated to God. You know, I was speaking to somebody recently, and his life is, "I've tried God. You know, I've tried that, and it's not working for me. But I happen to know that there's areas in his life that he won't surrender. There's areas in his life that he won't give up." And he tells me, "You know, I pray, but God's not talking to me anymore." And the reality is that God has spoken a lot, but you just haven't listened. He doesn't have anything more to say other than to be obedient in what I've already told you. Why should I have to tell you again? You know the truth. And so he didn't understand that. He didn't realize that he had already closed God off by refusing to hear what he had to say, by not surrendering to that one thing or two things or whatever it is. We can't expect to grow past where we're at if we're not succeeding in where the Lord is directing us in this moment. If we're not listening and being obedient to the things that he's teaching us now, how can we expect to get to the next level, you know? If I can't pass third grade math, why would they pass me or send me into the fourth grade or the fifth grade, you know? We gotta learn and achieve where we're at. One of the scripture passages that always encouraged me and still encourages me is in Acts, where it speaks about the Bereans. Paul and I know it was Paul, he was probably waiting there for Silas and Timothy, but they left from Thessalonica and they ended up speaking to the Bereans. And in chapter 17, verse 10, it says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few." You know, when I think of these people and how that they went wholeheartedly into it. And it wasn't like they went into it blindly believing what Paul and Silas said, but it says that they sought the scriptures diligently. They looked to see if what they were saying was true. And I believe that each one of us has that responsibility to look and see if what is being taught is true and right and according to the scripture. God's word is there, and it reveals to us everything that the Lord would have us to know. And we need to search it out. We need to be diligent in our study, because that's where we're going to hear from God. Amen. You know, we hear from him on an individual basis. If we want answers from the Lord, if we're trying to grow and mature in our life, then we need to have answers that that correlate to where we're at in our life. And so, again, we have to seek the Lord. You know, like we said earlier, how are we going to hear from God if we don't ask Him? You know, if we don't get before Him and humble ourselves before Him and allow Him to speak to our hearts and to show us what He would do, we have to hear from God. There's another situation. There's one thing that we have hindrances that keep us from hearing the word of the Lord. But then there are other things that maybe hinder us in keeping it. In 1 Kings chapter 13, there's a situation where a prophet of the Lord is sent from God to prophesy to the king. It was right after Israel broke off from Judah. I think it was during Rehoboam's reign. And this prophet went and prophesied against them and saying, you know, they had set up an idol, and he went and prophesied against it and said that the Lord was going to do something specific. He was going to break their altar in half. And there was a lot to the prophecy. But one of the key points in the prophecy was that the Lord told this prophet not to eat or drink in that land, and not to go back the same way that he came to that land. And so the Lord told him specifics about how he should conduct himself and how he should speak the word and how he should operate in that situation, right? The Lord told him. And so he gets ready to leave, and another prophet comes up and says, well, you know what? I got a message from an angel, and he told me to invite you to my house so that you could come and eat with me. And so he did. He went with him, and he ate with them, and then that same guy prophesied to him about his disobedience. And that man died as a result. And so I think about it and I say, you know what, we have to stand on what God has said. You know, sometimes people might want to dissuade us from what the Lord has told us. They might want to convince us that really wasn't from the Lord, or the Lord really didn't say that, or the Word doesn't really say that. And the reality is we have to stand firm on what we believe and what God has said. You know, and it's a blessing that we have the Word, because it never changes. It's always the same. And I don't know how we would operate without it. God's Word is something that we can stand on and be firm in. I was thinking about this morning in Sunday school, we were talking about Noah and how he was building that ark. And the Lord told him to build it. And he built it for, I guess it was 100 and some years that he was in building. That's a long time to stand on something that they really hadn't seen as yet, you know. He was standing on the Word of God. Nobody else was really believing in what he was doing. I'm sure they were mocking him and making fun of him for what he was doing. Didn't make sense to them. Probably didn't make a lot of sense to Noah, except that God had said. But he did it. You know, he stood firm on what the Lord had told him. Abraham stood firm on what God had said. And they were blessed because of it. We don't always understand why the Lord is saying the things that he's saying, but we'll be blessed and it will profit in our lives if we'll just obey, if we'll just do what he says. It's hard to explain to people, for me anyway. I've been disobedient a lot in my life. And I'll tell you right now that serving God and being obedient unto the Lord has been the biggest blessing that I could ever imagine in my life. And it hasn't always been easy. And all of the decisions that I felt the Lord would have me make hasn't always looked like the right way for me. But I followed it, and the Lord has blessed me in it. You know, you see in the scriptures where the Lord tells him to do certain things that on face value look dangerous. You know, look like it would be perilous to their lives and hurtful even. But in the process of their obedience, you'll see how God turns it, you know, and brings it about for their good. And the Lord has done that for me many times. And, you know, as often as I've heard from the Lord, I'm not confident still, you know, because he doesn't always speak the same way all the time. You know, I have to really be tuned in to hear what the Lord has to say to me, you know, because like we said earlier, one time the Lord tells him you can defeat the enemy by the mountains. The next time he tells him to defeat the enemy by the valley. You know, you don't, they didn't know why, but the Lord was doing something. He was proving his power. He was proving that he was the God of the people and that he was their deliverer. I mean, he delivered an army into the hands of 300 men, you know. The Lord did mighty things. You know, Gideon goes to battle with lamps and I don't even know what else he had. Lamp bowls, pitchers, yeah, and trumpets. You know? And he's picking his army, and the Lord tells him, okay, I want you to separate that 3,000, tell them to go home. And I want you to, he ended up with 300 people. But God does things, and he has reasons why he's doing it. And if we can just follow and be obedient and be led by him, he's going to bring victory about. And we're going to see his hand in it. And we're going to know that God has done something and that it's not us. It's not according to our ability. It wasn't the power of Gideon that defeated the army, but it was God's power. It was God's ability. And it was important for the Lord to do it that way so that we would know. So that we wouldn't get lifted up or that we wouldn't get pride and arrogant about how good or how great we are, but that we would know that God is all powerful. God is accomplishing things. And so really what I was really doing is seeking God as he was telling me, hear from me. Listen. I know the Lord is speaking. You know, we think, well, you know what, God really isn't speaking, or I'm just not getting it. I keep asking, and I'm not hearing the answer, you know. And I know that sometimes the Lord delays in his responses, but I think sometimes, too, we just aren't listening. And we need to dig in, you know. We need to be diligent in our search, you know. I know that God is speaking. I know he's speaking to my heart. I know he's speaking to your heart. I know that there are things that he wants to do in our lives. And we may not see where his plans are all the way. You know, we might not know all of what he plans to do in our lives, but I know it's a safe place to trust him. I know it's a safe place to follow him. I know that we can follow his lead and never have to worry, never have to fret about where he's taking us, but that we're going to end up in a good place. I was thinking of how important it is to hear from the Lord, and Revelations came to mind. And we're not going to read all of these, but there's numerous letters to the churches that the Lord wrote to the churches. And we'll read a couple of them. We'll go ahead and read in verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1 of Revelations. And it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear. It's not just reading it. You know, it's not just even listening to it. But it's like really hearing it. The Lord had a lot of things to say. He said some good things about how they were laboring and they were patient and they were enduring and they were able to see the difference in the people who proclaimed to be apostles who weren't. And he had some positive things to say. But there was also some things that he needed to tell them too. That they had lost their first love. That their hearts weren't the same. And the relationship that they had with the Lord wasn't the same. And so the Lord does the same with us. You know, there's some powerful things in that he's teaching us. And there's things that he's like, you know, I love that about you. I love that you're doing this and that you're doing that and that you're serving me faithfully here and there. And however, nevertheless, what about this? You know, the Lord might put something. He might put his finger on something. And we have to have ears to hear. Rather than just thinking that we have everything all under control and everything's fine. And that message is great for so-and-so, you know. Or I wish so-and-so was here to hear that, you know. And sometimes our ears need to hear. You know, and sometimes the message is for me. And I pray that the Lord would help me to listen. And it's not just a rebuke or a praise that the Lord wants to say to us. Sometimes the Lord wants to bring comfort to our hearts. You know, when we're suffering and we're, you know, I've been with people who are afflicted, you know, and they're in their last stages of life and they're struggling, you know, they're trying to hold on to their faith and their confidence in God. And, you know, you got people around them that are doubting the existence of God in their life and saying, why would the Lord do this to you? Why would he let you suffer this way? Why would he allow this to happen? And they're holding on. But he says that God is the God of all comfort. And so he speaks comfort to our hearts too. And he speaks peace to their hearts when they're going through those times. And I couldn't tell you how many have been suffering through cancer, but not really suffering. You know, cancer, they say, is very painful. I mean, agony painful. And I've watched people who did it under the anointing of the Spirit of God and didn't suffer like others. And God is faithful like that. And I'm sure that he brought confidence to them and spoke assurances to them. And so we need to hear that too. You know, we need to hear from the Lord when he's encouraging us. And when he's consoling us and he's telling us, you know what, just keep pressing on. Keep fighting. Keep going. You know, you're going to make it. You're going to be victorious. Don't give up. You know, those are the things that we have to hear from God too, because the enemy is speaking the opposite. He's telling us, you're no good. You can't make it. You're a failure. You know what I mean? That's the enemy speaking. But God is saying, no, don't quit. I have you. I can help you. Just trust me. Just surrender to me. Just let me have it. And I'll take you through. The Lord's word is important in our growth. He's important for us to walk and to live. We got to have it all. You know, we got to have the rebuke. And we got to have the encouragement. You know, where the Lord is speaking and saying, you know what? Go after it. You know? Here, I got something else for you to do. How about this? You know, how about you going and encouraging that other person? You know, he says that he's the God of all comfort who comforts us so that we can comfort others by the same comfort that we ourselves received of God. And so as he's doing that for you, he may ask you, hey, why don't you go and comfort so-and-so? You see that they're hurting. You see that they need encouragement. You can see that they need strength and hope. Give them a little bit. Freely you have received, freely give. Go speak to their heart, the encouragements of the Lord. Tell them that I can be with them and I'll strengthen them. You know, whatever the message is that the Lord gives you. And so our next passage here is to the church of Smyrna. And he says, and unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. The Lord didn't have a rebuke for them. He didn't even have a correction for them that I see. He had encouragement to them. He was telling them, look, you're going to face hardship. You're going to face trial. It's not always going to be easy. There are going to be difficult times. The devil is going to throw you into prison. He says, I know that you're poor. However, you're rich. He was encouraging them. You know, and sometimes the devil can discourage us with our circumstances, with the way things are in our lives, and thinking, you know what, I don't have anything. You know, I think of the people that are, you know, in the other countries that, you know, we were talking about it at young people's meeting and how we're bagging up the toys for the kids. And sometimes we can look at what we're giving them and thinking that it doesn't really amount to a lot, you know. A couple cars and some crayons and things, you know. But the reality is to a child that doesn't really have much, you know, that can mean a lot. You know, and so we can do things that will encourage them and strengthen them. And I think about sometimes the faith that they have and the smiles that they have, you know. And the joy of the Lord is in their hearts. And you know, you can look at their lives and think, you know, why would they be smiling? You know, they're not even sure if they're going to eat today. But yet God has done a work. And he gives them joy. And he strengthens them. And I pray that the Lord will help me to hear what that's about. You know, how I can be of help to really understand like he understands. The Lord knows what they're going through. He knew what this church was going through. He understood every bit of it. But they still went through it. He knows exactly what we're going through. He knows every bit of it. And some of it he may allow us to go through. He may allow us to suffer it. But it's going to be to an end that will not only bless us, but that will bring glory into his name. And our lives aren't just about what the here and now, but we live for eternity in mind. You know, we don't focus on temporal things or the things of this time, but we're thinking ahead and what God has prepared for us for eternity. He that has ears, let him hear. You know, sometimes we might think that God has to scream or yell or, you know, to get it across. Sometimes we might think we have to do that, you know. Sometimes a person might think, you know what, this child just isn't getting it. I'm going to raise my voice so they hear. And I was thinking about what Brother Philip has been telling me a few times, and that he would always lower his voice. And he said that his children would know that when he lowered his voice, it was like, uh-oh, right? And I don't think God raises his voice like that for us. I think that we have to have ears to hear. There's a scripture in 1 Kings chapter 19. And I believe it's verse 9, starting at verse 9. This is the story of Elijah. He just finished overcoming the prophets of Baal by the Lord, of course. The Lord proved himself to the people, and then Elijah ended up running afterwards, and he found himself here. And this is the account, and it says, "And he came thither into the cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return into thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." You know, I think of this situation, and I think, you know, Elijah needed to hear something from the Lord. You know, even though he had a great victory and the Lord showed himself and the Lord did a mighty work, he still got, I guess, discouraged to leave, to run when Jezebel was looking to slay him. And he got to where he thought he was all by himself, that nobody was standing with him, that he was the only one left. And the Lord encouraged him. They said that there were 7,000 still in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. But what really sticks out to me is that it says that the Lord spoke with a still small voice. And I think about somebody who has something really important to say, and you know that you have to hear it. Everything's riding on you hearing what they have to say. But they can't yell it out for you. And so they're speaking in a still small voice. And I imagine myself, like, you know, really leaning in and really trying to get every word of what it is that they have to say. And I think that that's how I want to be with God. Amen. Is I want to be able to hear that still small voice and what he would have to say. And if I have to lean in, you know, if I have to draw close into the Lord to be able to hear what he has to say, then I pray the Lord would give me the strength and help me to lean in and hear what he would have to say. That I would have a heart that desires above all else to hear the word of God and to hear what he would have to say to me on any given situation, to be open to receive any rebuke or correction that he might have for me, to have a heart that's tender before the Lord, that I can go before him and hear what he would have to say. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear. And so I pray that the Lord would help me to have an ear to hear what it is that he would say to me. And I pray that he would do the same for you. I ask that you all would pray for me.